When everybody says to know your name, when you speak of a name, you're speaking of the person, right? If you're in a conversation and somebody's name came up, you would say, oh, yes, so-and-so. I know who you're talking about. So when it talks about God's name, to know his name, it means to know his person. Amen? And anybody can hear about God, but eternal life is in knowing him personally. And religious people know about God, at least to some degree. So, but we're not religious, are we? Not in that sense. Religion really is, it's a thought system. It's a belief system. That's what it really means. But we operate and we walk and live by faith. Faith in the living God. And it's not a blind faith. It's not superstition, okay? Amen? But it's tangible faith. It's real. We're trusting in a living God. Amen? He is alive. He is real. And there is evidence in real faith. There is substance to real faith. It's not just in the sweet by and by, pie in the sky, I hope so thing. But it's like I can know and I can have the evidence in me through my belief and me coming into agreement with what is true. See, we can hear what is true but not agree with it. It's when we hear, we have to also receive. Amen? And his truth has to become our truth because there is really one truth. And a lot of times what we think is true is not true at all. And a lot of what you're hearing on the news, by the way, if you didn't know, I'm sure you did, is not true at all either. There's this whole thing going on right now. You hear it called fake news, fake news. The fake news people are calling the other ones fake news people. See? And back and forth they go with the fake news stuff. And it's all a smokescreen, you know. And that's just like Satan, isn't it? He's a deceiver. He's a liar. But God is truth. He is the real one. He is authentic. Our faith is in a true living God, amen, and not some God that you cannot know. Lord, you're so good to us. You know, we were talking about the heart of worship. And I want to continue on this theme a little bit more today and with a different aspect of it, but we love his presence. I love the Lord. I love to be with him and in his presence, to feel his presence even. I long for his voice, to hear his voice speaking, to discern his voice. And, you know, to know God is to know his voice. If you don't know his voice, you're not knowing God. You know what I'm talking about? When you hear truth and you recognize it as true, it means that you're hearing God, right? God is true. He is not just a truth, but he says, I am the truth. He's not just a way, but he says, I am the way. He's not just a life, like we have a plethora of, I'll choose this life, you choose that life for you. But he is life, and he gives life and breath to all of us. And God desires our presence. That's the awesome thing. We love his presence, but he loves your presence. And that's why we get to do this thing called prayer. We get to talk to God, and we get to hear God. You know, he wants to speak to us. And I think sometimes we trivialize maybe, or we don't esteem prayer to where it really belongs. Because sometimes we say, well, I've been doing all this asking and nothing's happening. And sometimes people quit praying altogether because they don't think that God is hearing their prayers. And do you know that's exactly what Satan wants you to do? He wants you to stop praying. He will do everything he can. He can't stop you, but he can deceive you into believing that God's not listening and get you to stop. He tries to manipulate your will to agree with his will. And that is, don't talk to God. Whatever you do, don't pray. You know, you can go to church. You can read the Bible. But don't pray. Because prayer is bringing heaven to earth. Prayer is invoking God's presence, amen, and bringing it into the earth realm. It's heavenly interference, if you will, in the earth realm. So Satan is terrified of prayer. And that's why you will struggle with prayer. Anybody beside myself struggle with prayer? Everybody struggles with prayer. So I want to talk about that today because it is something that we need to overcome. Don't ever yield to the temptation to not pray, because that's exactly what Satan wants. Because he realizes that if we don't pray, we don't have power. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no covering. No covering, vulnerability to the Satan and his lies. Folks, I can tell you over and over again, people that are shipwrecked or people that don't make it are people who have not really had a prayer life. I'm talking about an authentic prayer life, not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer life, but a communion with God in the Spirit and an understanding of His person and having a two-way conversation with God prayer life. Anytime you want to set yourself to pray, how many has signed up for the prayer sheet? I'm going to pray this hour. And how many are still praying that same hour every day? You've committed to that. One hand. Okay, well, at least you're being honest, right? I see three hands. Well, there was probably about 14 names on there. But I'm not saying that to shame anybody. I'm just saying that prayer is under attack. He does not want us to pray. And so there has to be some self-discipline. We have to make ourselves pray. You have been given that ability. You have been given a free will by God to do whatever you want with your life. You're in charge of your life in that sense. How many realize that? You're actually in charge of your life, right? We all know that some of us are very much in charge of our lives. But we need to learn how to yield to Him and let Him be Lord. See, there has to be a willful cooperation in the Spirit, a voluntary cooperative fellowship, if you will. We have to agree with what God wants to do, to accomplish. When we have a service or a time of refreshing, you know, how many know that it's because somebody's praying? People are praying for the visitation of God. And I have discovered something, is that when we have a beautiful time of refreshing from the Lord, you need to be even more vigilant and even more diligent to pray afterwards. Because the enemy does not like that at all. Because it means destruction to what he's trying to establish in people's lives. That's strongholds to destroy people. God wants to demolish strongholds. So if you're having a mountaintop experience, you've been blessed by the Lord, then you better get on your face and stay humble before the Lord and keep in contact and stay armored up. Amen? Because that's the time when the enemy will come in, because he thinks and he'll try to convince you that you don't need to pray like you used to now. You don't need to be as vigilant as you were. Everything is just going to be swell from here on out. How many have discovered that sometimes after a great victory, there comes an attack? I'm trying to encourage the body to understand that we are actually called to prayer by God. We're actually being disobedient to Him if we do not pray. Because God has called us to a priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. God has established you and I here on the earth to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. That's why we must pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Jesus said, pray after this manner, pray this way. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Well, let's do this. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. And verse 40. Then he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so that I want that to be our theme today, is the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. People who do not pray cannot effectively rule their natural man. How many know we're all contending every day, aren't we, with the natural man, the old man? And if people that do not pray, though, cannot effectively rule that old man will win unless you pray. Because if you don't pray, you're not going to have power and authority to rule even the old man. Because self-control is a fruit of God. It's a fruit of His Spirit. It's not the natural self-control. People have natural self-control. But what we're dealing with here, we need supernatural self-control. Your willpower is not enough. You need God's power to enable you to keep that natural man in check. And that natural man says, I want to sleep. I don't want to pray. But the spirit in you is willing and saying, I know I need to. I've got to get up. I've got to pray. But there's this battle going on with that other part of you, the flesh, and that part of you is weak. Amen? So God is saying, Jesus was telling His disciples, could you not watch and pray with me? Could you not watch 1 hour? He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Well, think about it. Why do cities put up walls? Those walls are there to protect the city from enemies. Amen? So if we don't pray, and we don't put on the armor of God, we don't have protection against the onslaught of the enemy, that old man will rule and you'll become vulnerable to the attacks. It's like a city that has no walls. You and I can be likened to that if we don't have a prayer life. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't have an ongoing prayer life, you need to get one right away. See, a lot of people, they have moments of victory, but most of the time they're living in defeat. It's because they're not staying connected to the only one who can give you that daily victory. And again, your enemy is not going to lay down and play dead. Amen? He's going to be very active in trying to keep you from prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be just a time you set aside. However, I strongly recommend that you have a time set aside between you and God. Just you and God. Amen? But then we need to pray throughout our day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. So God wants His people to gain the victory. Jesus has already won the victory, but we have to gain that victory for our own lives. And we have to receive what He's already done and paid for in full by faith, by petitioning the Father. Coming, if you will, Hebrews 4, coming to the throne of grace. And come boldly, come confidently, amen, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We need God's presence. We need His power. But we have to ask. We have to seek, and we have to knock. Folks, there's times when you have to travail. There's some times where it seems like there's just a flood coming against your life. You know what I'm talking about? Like everything, all hell is breaking loose. That's the time when you need to rise up, and you need to declare some things over your life, and you need to say something like, let Yah rise, and His enemies be scattered. Amen? God, arise in me, and let your enemies be scattered. The Lord will defeat your enemies for you, but you have to come into agreement with Him. You have to be willing to pray according to the will of God. God's will is that you and I be victorious, that you and I endure to the end, that we don't just start well, but that we finish well. And you're not going to do that unless we understand the importance, the value of prayer. You see, we're talking about worship. Prayer is very much a part of worship to God. It's communion with God. Lots of times when we're singing songs, sometimes they're prayer songs. You notice that? Where we're ministering to the Lord. The Spirit is willing. You know, my flesh wants to be coddled. My flesh wants to be comfortable. My flesh wants to be appeased. My flesh wants to be entertained. It wants to be doted on. My flesh wants to be in charge. My flesh is opposed to obedience and certainly sacrifice. My flesh doesn't want to be inconvenienced or bothered. My flesh doesn't like that word, that nasty word called sacrifice. But your spirit in you desires to do the will of God. Do you notice that? There's a part of you that's saying, yeah, I know this is right and I need to do this. But there's this other part that sometimes is just too strong in you that's saying, but I'm not going to do that. That's the part of you that has to die daily. And the only way that's going to happen is that you have developed a prayer life. Because the Bible says, and I want you to hear this from this perspective. The Lord says that no flesh shall glory, what? In my presence. No flesh shall glory in his presence. How do you die? I tell you what, your flesh will die if you spend time in his presence. Your flesh is not going to glory there. That ugly old man's not going to stick his head up in God's presence. Come on, somebody. Amen. We've got to crucify that old sin nature every day. We need to say no to that and yes to God. The sin nature says, I don't want to be inconvenienced. But the Spirit says, but I'm willing to pray and seek God for his will for my life this day. Who's going to win? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Is your life characterized by that? Do you live by the Spirit of God? Do you allow God to rule your life every day? Do you walk in the Spirit? How many know that there's life and peace in the Spirit? Every time we allow our flesh to win, we lose that. You know what I'm talking about? You can lose your victory in a moment. And it's usually when everything is going so well that the enemy deceives us into thinking that, oh, well, I don't need to pray like I used to. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to spend any time in the Word. I don't need to go to church. That's not that important. They won't miss me anyways. How many know that each one of you here are important to God? And you're important to each one of us here as well. We need you. We need the body of Christ to be here and to be together and to be connecting and to be helping and to be encouraging. Amen. And to be, if you will, building up each other in the faith. We need that. You ever felt discouragement when many people haven't showed up for church? You ever feel that? Yeah. That's the enemy. See? And how many times have we just decided that I just don't feel like it today, so I'm not going to go to fellowship? How many know the part of you that doesn't feel like it is the part that has to die? Because if you can get past the feel like, you draw near to God and you come anyways, you do contrary to what your sin nature wants you to do, you'll find that God has something special for you. How many have listened to the right voice before, right? At least once. We know what that other voice is like, but when we're listening to the right voice and we say, yes, Lord, and we do what my flesh doesn't want to do, but I do it because I know the Lord is saying, do it. Whenever I do something contrary to how I'm feeling, I always get a better feeling. See, good feelings will follow faith. But if you're motivated and directed just by your feelings, you're going to fall on your face over and over again. Why? Because that your soul, man, is a touchy-feely kind of person. It's just if he feels like it, he does it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. You know what I'm talking about? That part of us that just says if it feels good, Well, I'm not going back there because nobody paid attention to me. They didn't shake my hand. Nobody coddled me and patted my head and said, how wonderful you are today. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't operate like that? He's our example. Jesus, he didn't come around saying, hey, if it wasn't for you giving me a pat on the shoulder, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, no, Jesus lived for the Father. We got to rise above that part of us, don't we? And if somebody offends you, well, it just probably means that we're too strong, too full of someone else. You know, when I get offended, folks, it's because usually I'm weak. And then all of a sudden, the dart gets in there, the enemy, you know, because I'm not armored up. And then somebody will say something and they'll like, it'll just, the dart got in. They may not even know what they're doing. They may not, it wasn't intentional, but all of a sudden you're offended by something they said. It usually means that I'm too strong and the spirit is too weak. In other words, I'm not building up my spirit man by the Spirit of God. I need to be clothed in Him every day. And I find that when I'm strong in the Lord, I'm usually weak in myself. But when I'm strong in the Lord, people can offend me. And guess what? If I'm not full of myself, I don't get offended. When I'm focused on myself, I get offended easily. When I'm focused on myself, I'm concerned about what everybody thinks about me. Well, what are they saying about me? How do they perceive me? I better dress a certain way, look a certain way, because, you know, people will judge me if I don't. If I don't look like Hollywood, or I don't look like this person or that person. You know, how often are we manipulated just by the opinions of men, but not being led by the Spirit of God? We need to build up our spirit, man. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray, lest you fall. What? P-R-E-Y, pray. Because that devil, man, he's just looking for an opportunity. And so that's why I want to focus on this today, because if we will really be a doer of this word, hear it today, and apply it, it will transform your life. If you can get control of this body and say, body, you are my servant. I am not your slave. You're going to listen to me. And you can't do that unless you really have the strength, the supernatural self-control of the Spirit of God. And that comes through prayer. It comes through abiding in the Lord. And again, folks, a city with no walls is vulnerable to every attack of the enemy. So, what is God calling us to do? God's calling us to overcome. What is He asking us to overcome? The world, the flesh, and the devil, right? Now, God wouldn't tell us to overcome unless we could. But we can't overcome in our own strength. We can't do it in our own witticism, our own cleverness, our own wisdom. We need His wisdom. We need His strength. We need His ability to overcome this world. And so God wants us to be clothed in Him so the world will see Him. There will be a manifestation of Him through our lives because we are abiding in Him. The supply of oil, amen, is continually flowing into our lamp. Now, I want us to look back here at Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest's responsibility was to keep a continual supply of oil to the candlestand that was in the most holy place, or the holy place, which is the second chamber of the three-chambered temple. And that represents really a mind that is illuminated by the Spirit of God. And so the Bible says here that you shall command, Exodus 27:20, the children of Israel, that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. So in the Old Testament, the priest's responsibility was to what? To keep the supply of oil. They were not the supply of oil, but they were to maintain a supply of oil to the lampstand. You get it? Now, in the New Testament, we also are a royal priesthood. And as such, Jesus told us that we must also keep oil in our lamp. In Matthew 25, it talks about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. Amen? And the five wise were the ones that had the oil, the extra oil in their lamps. And they were ready when the bridegroom came. And that bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is coming again. And he's coming for those who are in readiness, who are prepared, who have oil in their lamps. And their lamps are brightly shining. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Without prayer, we can do nothing. If without prayer, we will not have victory over this flesh. We will not have victory over the world and the devil unless we pray. Pray lest you enter into temptation, because your natural man will always lead you in the wrong way. He always leads away to a place called self-centeredness. Your natural man is always focused on himself and the pleasures and the feel goods of this life. And how many know that there is no pleasure like the pleasure of the Lord? There is a superior pleasure, and it is a pleasure of his presence. So God said, don't have any other gods. Don't use those cheap counterfeits. Don't worship yourself. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you'll find it. And so this oil has to be provided. Amen. And that oil can also be like God's grace in our lives. Amen. His spirit, his grace, his ability. But we have to keep, our responsibility is to keep that oil supply. Sometimes people think that just, well, God, if it be your will, or God will do it. Or the battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord's. No, you're to cooperate and partner with God in the battle. How many know that's true? Sometimes people are waiting around for God to do something when God is saying, I want you to get up and do something because I'll back you up. I gave you authority on the earth. I'll back you up, but you got to rise up and you got to speak against that mountain. You need to take authority over that giant in your life. If you do, God says, I'll back you up. But sometimes we're sitting around in our little huddle in fear and trembling and say, oh God, get rid of the giant. Remove the giant from my life. And God says, you rise up in my authority that I already gave you in the commission. And you take authority over it. And you make it obey. You make it go. You command that thing. Amen. God says, I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do we believe that? We have to take authority. And you know where we need to begin the authority? The authority has to be over this self. I have to take control of myself. And I have to make this body obey me. Even the Apostle Paul, who had preached to so many, says, unless I keep disciplining my body, I myself could be a castaway. So who are we? Have you looked at Paul's life lately? Man, he's a man of God, and he endured a lot, and he went through a lot, but he was victorious, and at the end of his life, he could say, I've kept the faith. I want to be like that. Amen? Amen. I want to be like Jesus. That was Paul's aspiration, that he may know Christ. How about you? I want to know him. You know, I want to mention this too. Unfortunately, today, the temptation in many of the churches, folks, is not to please God, but to please the people. So the people come. And so we have all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of bells and whistles and fancy things and comfortable things for people. Nice pews. Ooh, these are kind of nice. We may have like a really good band or good music. And you know, hopefully that's not why we're coming here. Amen. It's not just for the music. It's for his presence, right? But God gives music as a gift. And we use it. Amen. Together in our worship. But we just pray, Lord, let us be the instrument that you play on. Amen. And Lord, we want to be before an audience of one today. We don't want to be out here to show off or make ourselves known. We want Jesus to be known. Amen. But folks, so much of what's going on, and you know, even the world has picked up on this. And there's a song that came out years ago that it was a song in the world, but it was called The Gospel Show. I think it was Neil Diamond or one of them. He called it the gospel show. How many know what I'm talking about, that song, right? Well, you know what, folks? Unfortunately, there's some truth to that. And a lot of times, people are just coming for the latest and greatest show that they can be entertained by. And we want to do everything we can to make people feel comfortable and coddled. And heaven forbid that we should speak anything that in any way might offend their flesh. But how many know that it's a good thing that your flesh is offended? Because you got to realize sometimes that flesh is stronger than you think. And unless the Word of God's getting into that area of your life, you're just going to continue on the way you're going. And you may be going down the primrose path to hell and not even realize it. But thank God that He sends His Word. And with the Word, it may hurt for a while, but just like salt in a wound, amen, sometimes it's necessary, amen, to get rid of the infection. But God will send His Word and heal our disease. There's healing in the truth. Even when it stings, it's still good. And I joke sometimes, but I'm not really joking, but well, I am, about, have I made anybody mad yet? And we say, no, well, I'm working on it. The idea is not to make anybody mad, but I have to speak the truth. If I love you, I have to tell you the truth. Amen? You tell your children the truth, right? Because you love them. No matter how hard it is sometimes. And sometimes there has to be tough love, right? Yeah. But God loves us that much. And God knows that we need His help. We need His guidance. We need His wisdom. We need His strength. And so God has said, I've made myself available to you. Come. Let's enter into covenant. Let's join together and let's have communion. I stand at the door and I knock. Church, if you hear His voice, open up. Don't be like the Song of Solomon where, you know, the Shulamite was in bed and say, I'll go away. And the beloved was knocking, which represents the Lord, knocking on the door. How many times have we resisted the Lord prompting and calling for fellowship? Because our flesh just wants its way. Do you know, folks, sometimes the reason why God feels so distant to us is because when He was calling and when He was knocking, we were ignoring. And you can get back, but the Shulamite had to go out through the city and looking and searching for the beloved. You know, God calls us to fellowship. Help me not to resist that choice, Lord, because sometimes it could be a matter of life and death for somebody. There's times when God's going to prompt you, maybe in the middle of the night, to pray for somebody. Because He works through us in the earth realm. So we have to call in His kingdom, amen, and His will into the earth realm through prayer and intercession. You want to see, folks, believe me, God is listening. God treasures. Prayer is precious to Him. The Bible says it's as a sweet incense before His throne. It's like as incense coming up before His throne of prayer and intercession. Communion with God in the Spirit is precious to Him. He wants to hear from you and I. And just because we may not see something right away doesn't mean that God's not listening. This is the deception. The enemy comes in and he tells you, your prayers don't mean anything. They don't matter. God doesn't care. God doesn't listen to you. He's doing everything he can to stop you because he knows if you continue to pray and you continue to believe that something is going to change, something is going to shift. How many of us had prayed for many years for something? Only to eventually have God show up in a powerful way and answer that prayer. And how many times during that time, that season of prayer, that we had wondered, God, are you even listening anymore? God's timing is perfect. It's just about timing. It's either yes, no, or wait. But when it's wait, don't give up, Jesus said. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Because God wants to answer prayer. But it will be in His season, His timing. Not ours, because sometimes I thought many times in my life, if I got what I asked for at that time, I wasn't ready for it. It would have been bad for me. You know, It's like giving little Johnny a shotgun for his first, you know, rifle. You know, some of you don't. I like to shoot. I grew up around guns. So, but 22 was when my dad said, and it was probably even shorts, right, Bruce? And then, well, it was BB guns first. BB guns, yes. And we didn't shoot any windows out. I said, okay, no, we'll graduate to 22, and on up we went to high-powered rifle. But it's not a good idea to give a child, amen, a shotgun and say, go for it, son. You got to be ready for it. You got to kind of build up into it, right? You got to have the maturity for it. And sometimes we're asking God for something that we're not ready for, but God will give us what we're able to handle. Just be faithful with what He's already given you. Just be a good steward with what you got now. As a matter of fact, try giving God thanks for what you got right now. See how that will change things too. Instead of complaining about what you don't have, give God thanks for what you do have. Our service, I want to talk about this too, but our service to the Lord is worship to the Lord. But our worship is only acceptable when it is done according to God's will. Now, I want you to think about this today, please. Obedience is better than sacrifice. However, how many have heard this one? Obedience with sacrifice is better. Oh, yeah. How many of us say, well, obedience is better than sacrifice? Because we don't want to sacrifice, because your flesh doesn't want to sacrifice. Your flesh doesn't want to be inconvenienced. Your flesh doesn't want to be made uncomfortable. Well, God, I'll do your will if the weather's just right, the sun's shining and the birds are singing, then I'll go out. Come on, somebody, right? You know, last night, but I haven't been feeling good. So sometimes this is just a test too, you know. But you know what? I say, you know what? I've committed to be faithful, to pray, and to set a time aside for God. I'm not a perfect man, but you know what? I'm trying. And I ask God for help. Because my flesh is just like you, your flesh. It doesn't like to obey. It doesn't want to submit. And it certainly doesn't want sacrifice. How many times have people said, oh, the football game, that's a priority. Not getting together with God's people, but the football game, that's a priority. How many know that's your flesh? The Spirit is willing. There's a part of you that says, I want you to be with God's people, amen, together, but football wins out. Now, I'm not here to beat up anybody today. I'm just here to say that we have to be mindful of who are we really listening to. Do I really have my flesh under control, or is it controlling me? And unfortunately, folks, there's too many times when I have to say that my flesh has controlled me. Just keeping it real. But I've discovered something, that if I will pray and I will be disciplined about it and I will continue to pray, that other part of me that wants to resist gets weaker and weaker and weaker. That voice that at one time was hollering, I don't want to do it, is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And that other voice, the voice of the Spirit, is getting louder and louder. I'm hearing God now. And every time I'm saying yes to Him, life. Resurrection power. Amen. Promotion. Blessing. Favor. Because I'm saying yes to God. See, sometimes God is going to challenge you and I to be uncomfortable to do His will. Even to suffer for His will. Do we love God more than our creature comforts? Are we willing to put God before myself? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How many of you have taken the time to really think about it? A living sacrifice. That word sacrifice is in there for a reason. That means if we live for Christ, it will require a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is my life in this world. That sacrifice is me saying no to me and yes to God. And how many realize that God is in the sacrifice? Obedience and sacrifice is better. Do you want to be promoted by God? You want to go to the next level in God? Then start obeying His voice, even when it requires a sacrifice. God may call you to sacrificially give at times. Even sow money into a ministry or something. That's a good time for an offering right now. But you know, God will do that. And He'll challenge us to do something that is a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice of ourselves. And to say, Lord, I'm willing to listen to You. I'm willing to do whatever You say. I don't want to get up and I don't want to go. And I don't want to go on that visit. But I know, God, that's what You're saying. So I'm going to do it. God says, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're following My example. How many know that Jesus didn't let His flesh rule? Jesus had to pray. Amen. He had to stay connected to the Father. Just like you and I do. So that we'd have the strength, the ability to overcome this flesh, this body that wants to do its own thing. When somebody falls into sexual immorality, it means that they're allowing their body to rule their spirit. Isn't it interesting that in witchcraft, it's the opposite, isn't it? It's you rule your spirit with your soul, with your mind. In Christianity, it's you submit, amen, to the Spirit of God who is in your spirit. And your mind has to submit to the will of the Spirit. It's the opposite. But when you submit to the will of God, it's life and peace. You know, let's face it, many Christians are willing to serve God as long as it's on our terms. If I enjoy something, something that makes me feel good, or something that brings me attention, or some kind of personal benefit, then count me in. If it's something I enjoy, something I'll serve God as long as it's something I like to do. That's your flesh. Your flesh will serve God all day long. But you're not going to receive anything from God except that which has been done in obedience to what He wants, not what you want. You understand? Sometimes we do things because we just like to do them. Well, it may be God's will. And it may be God working in you both to will and to do of that. But often, folks, we will serve God on our own terms and we'll give God this much and we'll let Him have that. But He can't touch this and He can't do that with me. So we're serving God on our own terms. How many know that's not true Christianity? Hedonism is yielding to all your sensual pleasures and doing what feels good. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Are we not living in that time where unless it's pleasurable, count me out? But if it is pleasurable, you know, count me in. Is this making sense today? Do you understand how strong our flesh actually is? And how much that we need God and His ability to overcome and keep that part of us crucified, if you will, every day. If you do not pray, you will become prey. If you do not pray, you will not have power and authority to rule this body that is very easily influenced by Satan. He works through the natural, doesn't he? He can't touch the man of God or the woman of God who is clothed in the armor of God. He can't touch you. So he's going to do everything he can, once again, to keep you from praying, to keep you from worshiping, to keep you from communing with God. He's trying to disconnect you so that he can weaken you. That's exactly what he does. It's like taking the sheep. He watches. He's a roaring lion. He's just looking for someone to devour. And he looks for that one sheep that, hey, this sheep is kind of disconnecting from the fold. You know, they're not in fellowship. They're not even connecting really with God. They're not in the Word. They're just kind of out doing their own thing. They're doing what they feel like doing. What feels good to them, they'll do that. But if God requires sacrifice, they're not interested. He looks for that one. And then he lures them farther away from the fold to the place where they're completely vulnerable and exposed. And then he takes them out. How many have people in your life that you have actually witnessed this happen to? Amen. How many know people in your life that at one time might have been very strong in the Lord even? They might have been walking in victory. Where are they today? Because they believe the lie of Satan that they don't need to pray. That somehow, that just by an act of my will and my willpower, mind over matter, I'm going to be able to overcome. You know what, folks? You can do some things naturally. You can overcome some things. You can quit some habits naturally. Would you say amen to that? But what we're involved with, the battle that's going on around us in the spirit realm, you're no match for that devil without the armor of God, without the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Without that helmet of salvation on your head, you need to be fully clothed. Amen. You need to have everything held together by the truth of God's Word. We need to know what God says about it, not what my opinion is, but what is true. That's what I need to know. Our service to the Lord is worship. That's worship. It's not just singing songs to God on Sunday morning. Amen. Our worship is ourselves being presented back to God as living sacrifices. That means I'm no longer my own. God, you're in charge now. You are Lord of my life. And from now on, I'm going to submit to your authority. I'm going to submit myself to God. Amen. And then I will resist the devil and he will flee from me. Amen. Hallelujah. In that order. Sometimes people are trying to resist the devil, but they're not submitted to God. That's tragic. Because you and I, apart from him, can't do anything. We can't do it. I want to talk about one more thing. Our natural man, the unregenerate part, wants to avoid hardship. It wants to avoid suffering. It wants to avoid discomfort. It wants to be coddled. It wants to feel good. It wants to be doted on. Come on. But folks, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to take up our cross. Cross means death. Cross means I die to my will and I live for his will now. And those who do so will discover super abundant, super quality life. I came that you might have life and life to the full. And this life is in the Spirit. Amen? It's not just having all the creature comforts, having 300 channels. God forbid. What are you going to do with all that? But life abundance, real true prosperity is as your soul prospers in the Lord. Amen? If you got Jesus, you've got everything. You don't have to covet anyone's silver or gold because your Father owns it all and you're a joint heir. Amen. You may have just a little shanty here and maybe drive old beat up Pinto, whatever. So what? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, right? Amen. I'm living for eternity. How about you? And if God has blessed you with some good stuff, then give thanks to God. Amen. And be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how many feel like God has spoken to you today? Maybe just a reminder today, right? I mean, that's why we continue in the Word, looking in the mirror, so that we get reminded, oh yeah, I need this. I need to hear what God is saying. I need to look at things from His perspective. My opinion doesn't matter. I need to know what God says is true, and that's going to be my truth, my reality. Amen? It's the true reality. So, I'm going to pray because I need to pray. How many feel today, just honestly, that God has spoken to you and that there's something has been stirred up inside of you that's saying, I need to listen to this word today? Amen. we're going to say, you know, God, I need to really commit myself to seeking your face. And that's when David would say, and I mentioned this last week, and he said, Lord, you said to me, seek my face. And I said to the Lord, what your face I will seek. His spirit was willing and he yielded to the right part of him. And Jesus said again, your spirit in you is willing to obey God, but your flesh is weak. So the real question here is, who is going to rule your life? Who's going to be in charge every day? Do you want life and peace? Do you want the blessing, the favor of God? Then you're going to have to say no to you and yes to God. It's the same message. Amen. No to you, yes to God, because saying yes to God is life and peace in the Spirit. Pray. If we just have the Word, but we don't have the Spirit, that's a problem too, right? And you know that. But, I mean, we need them both working together. We need the Spirit and the Word. Because it's the Spirit that reveals the living Word, who is Jesus Christ, to us. Amen. So then we're not just Pharisees that can quote Scripture, but we know the truth. We know the one who is the truth. And we can present Christ because we have a relationship with Him that's real. It's authentic. Hallelujah. It's not fake. We're not Pharisees. Amen. We're sons. We're daughters.